It's hard for our minds to understand, just absorb that is God's love for us, how much He desires fellowship with us. In our human state, we at best can create religion. We recognize the hole inside, that there's a hunger to connect with God. The problem with religion is it is human, a human creation, something we devise to try to get back to God. Where the true gospel is what God speaks that brings us back to Him in a living relationship. Religion too often is about our needs, our ego, our wants. And in that atmosphere, it's very easy to create idols. In a religious atmosphere, idolatry runs rampant. In a spiritual atmosphere, one in which the Holy Spirit is in control, idolatry cannot survive. And it's about the true gospel, which is not about our needs or us, but it's about God's heart, His will. When God speaks a word, it comes to pass, but also the scripture says it returns to Him. It's not null and void. So everything God is speaking is to be fulfilled and bear fruit and bring everything back to Him. The universe doesn't revolve around us. It revolves around Him. And that's the truth of the gospel. Well, I want us to look at this thing of idols, because we, given or left to our own devices, no matter how religious we are, no matter how much we understand the Bible, how many services we attend, we're going to create idols with our mind. The human mind will continually try to create an image of God and then worship that image. Maybe the image I think a lot of people have, and maybe we are plagued by it a little bit, is we are centered around our own neediness and what we want, feel we need in life. So God becomes this image of like a Santa Claus or a magic genie. God is there to fulfill all our wants and desires. It's true that one side or aspect of God is He'll give us the desires of our heart. But that does not define the person of God and who He really is. That's just one aspect. So we can create this image in our mind that God is there simply to take care of us and answer and give us what we want. We know how frustrating life can be when that's our reality. For other people, they create an image of a God that's angry. You know, you look around in the world and there's a lot of things going on that aren't good. They aren't good for anybody, right? But God is good. But we can have an image, and a lot of people have this image. They go to church because their image of God is angry. And if I don't jump through the hoops the right way, He's going to punish me. So they have this image of an angry God, a God that's there to punish. Again, it's a false image. It's an idol. We can make an idol out of the past, what God did yesterday. We can make an idol out of so many things. And I like, if you read 1 John, the first epistle, the very end, there's two verses. And it says, we are to come into a true understanding, a knowing of God, that we are in God and in Christ. This is truth, eternal life. The next verse says, and the last verse it is, children, beware of idols. Very interesting. There's two states we can be in. The Holy Spirit is that upward pull in our lives to bring us into a true understanding by the Spirit of who the Father is, a living relationship with Him. If we don't let the Holy Spirit do that, then we can be very religious, but we will create idols that will take the place of God's presence in our life. I'm reading from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verse 12. This is very interesting. It says, the Lord spoke to you, Israel, out of the fire. You heard the sound of words, but saw no form. There was only a voice. Verses 15 and 16 of chapter 4. You saw no form of any kind the day the Lord spoke to you out of the fire. Do not make for yourself an idol, an image of any shape. Now, it's interesting. Why didn't God appear in a form? Because He didn't want the Israelites making an idol out of that form. So many people make idols out of church. out of doctrine. We're always in our mind looking for some form to idolize. People. You can take a ministry. How many ministries are made into idols? And we know that's not what God wants. It gets in the way of the Holy Spirit's moving. So here God is speaking to Israel saying, when I appeared to you, I would not appear in a form because I don't want you to make an idol out of a form. What you heard was my voice. Now we're going to look at how the Holy Spirit connects us with the Father. What a mystery it is to our minds. What a miracle it is. God is spirit. Here we are, human beings. And yet because of what Jesus Christ has done and because we have the Holy Spirit in us, we can be fully a part of God's realm and be aware of his presence. That's the miracle of God's grace. But it's the realm where idols come down. Chapter 8 of Deuteronomy verse 3 says, he humbled you, feeding you manna to teach you that man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now, getting to know the Father in a relationship means we have a relationship with the living word that he speaks, his voice. Jesus made it very clear in John 10, my sheep know my voice. So we're not to make a form of God, create a form in our minds, but by his voice, he reveals himself. By his word, he makes his presence real to us. We come to understand his heart and his mind. And he said here, this thing about manna, Jesus refers to it again in John chapter 6. Man does not live by bread alone. And you go on down into how that was a test for the Israelites. They had trouble with manna. Why? Because God fed them in a way where they had to trust God on a daily basis. So coming to know God is coming to be feeding on this living manna of the Lord. It's every day feeding on his voice and his living word. What does that mean? It means we're not relying on ourselves. It means we have to trust that God will take care of us. The fathers in the wilderness had trouble with that because they didn't want to trust God. They wanted to have everything planned out. We tend to be that way. But God doesn't plan out our future that way, does he? He says, I want you to live with me moment by moment, trusting in me. And we feed on the living manna, the word of Christ. In Exodus 33:18, Moses cries out in verse 19, he says, now show me your glory. And God said, I will cause my goodness to pass in front of you. What's interesting is Moses is rising up and saying, God, I've got to know you. Show me who you are. And of all the attributes that God could display, isn't it interesting that he said, I'll show you my goodness? That's still available to us. You know that? We live in a world, again, where a lot of things that are happening are not good. And a lot of people blame God, or they're confused. How can a loving God let such horrible things take place? But the reality is, God is good. And if we want to know him, God is going to lift us out of the plane of this human plane. Remember, Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. He didn't say when it would end. He just said, you will have tribulation, but rejoice, I have overcome the world. The Holy Spirit causes us to rise into the realm of God's presence, where in a world that is off the track and going wild in a lot of ways, out of control, God will bring it about. But now, even in all this tribulation, we can know the goodness of God and that God is good. He reveals that part of himself to us. In Numbers chapter 21, and this may seem unrelated at first, but bear with me, verses 1 through 9, we read about the plague that came upon the Israelites because of their disobedience. You remember what God had Moses do? The Israelites were being bitten by fiery serpents and dying. And God instructed Moses to make a bronze serpent. And anyone that looked at that bronze serpent was delivered from the death of the serpents. So there was a deliverance. And Jesus refers to that in John 3 again. If we look at Christ, we're delivered, aren't we? It's a type of the Lord. What's interesting about that is, if you go to 2 Kings chapter 18, when Hezekiah was moved by the Spirit of God to repentance and restoration. He began to break apart and destroy the idolatry. He comes across this bronze serpent. 800 years later, the Israelites had made an idol out of that serpent and were worshiping it. Hezekiah broke it in pieces. Here's something that God had done, but God had moved on, and they made an idol out of that. And again, God said, I don't want you to make idols out of anything, no form. So the heart of God is moving in our lives to clean out all idolatry, religious or otherwise. And you say, well, that's really tough. That's the fire of God. That's burning in me. And I got to let go of this and let go of that. What you're doing is you're being brought into his presence. You're being brought into a state of freedom in the grace of God. Idolatry is not our friend. That holds us in bondage. That keeps us from seeing in the Spirit the glory of God. So let's welcome it. Yes, God, break down all the idols that we've made so that we can know you and live in you, be aware of you. John chapter 1, the Father again reveals himself to us through the Word. It says, the Word was God. The Word became flesh and lived among us. For out of his fullness we have received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace, the undeserved favor of God, and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God, his essence or divine nature, at any time. The Son, who is in the intimate presence of the Father, he has revealed him. He has revealed the awesome wonder of the Father to us. What a beautiful, powerful passage, isn't it? Here's God. How did he become real to the human race? The living Word, a man named Jesus. Jesus became the Word of God. As we allow the Word to work in us, we're coming to know the Father. That's the way we come to know him. He works in our heart. It's often it's hidden. You can't even see what he's doing. You just feel the rumblings and you feel the disruption in your life. What's going on? The Holy Spirit is working in you. The Word is working. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Why? To bring us into that awareness of the Father so that we can see who God truly is and that we're in him. Grace upon grace. Another way, in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, says, the one who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who loves is born of God and knows God. Why? Well, it says, the person who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God is love. And as he reveals his love to us, and we allow that love to be expressed through us, that's knowing him. If we don't express the love of God, we don't know God. And so much of religion can be anchored in bitterness and resentment and hatred. We know throughout history some of the atrocities that have been committed by people that were committed to religious causes. That's not the nature of God. The spiritual state is one where we are touched by God's love. We experience his love, and then we become an expression of it. That's the heart of the Father. It says we love, why? Because he first loved us. This is not something we initiated. He initiated this at the cross, and God is continually expressing his love to us. And if we can receive his love, then we can express his love. One last verse. John chapter 4, verses 23 to 24. You're very familiar with this. Talks about the true worshipers who worship the Father in spirit, from the heart, and in truth. No idols. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. This worship that we have in our hearts, it goes beyond services. We express it in a meeting as we come together. It's a beautiful, beautiful experience we have together in the Spirit. But worship is an attitude of heart. And we allow that attitude to be expressed in our daily life, whether it be through thankfulness, through praise, just that recognition that God is God and He loves us. When we worship in spirit from our heart and in truth, meaning we're not worshiping a form, we're worshiping the invisible spirit, the God that we can't see with and can't experience often with our senses. Sometimes He'll break through where our senses come alive to Him. But often it's just an issue of faith. We say, God, I don't see You with my eyes, and what You do is beyond my understanding, but You are Lord. I worship You from my heart and with truth from within. That's what God is looking for. What does that mean? That means when that's our attitude, we connect with Him. And there's that living relationship with Him. You know, we may think that in these days, what's going to set people apart, or though some of those people will go to church and be religious and some will reject it. I think it really comes down to the worship. There's a lot of people that attend services that aren't in the Spirit. Are we open to the Holy Spirit? Are we open to having that living relationship with the Father? He's not looking for church attendance. He's looking for fellowship with His people. That's going to be the difference. There'll be those that will be in the presence of God, desiring a relationship with the Father. That's what Jesus came for. He reconciled us to the Father. And there'll be those that maybe don't care about that, religious or otherwise. And we know in our heart we want to be a part of that company of people that worship God in spirit and in truth. Because when God has that attitude and that connection with people, He can do anything on the earth. And He will bring this earth back under His dominion and restore His creation. Amen. Lord, bless the word to our hearts. Lord, bless your week.